Well, Jesus gave you the homily in the gospel text, so I'll just focus on the first reading, if that's all right. You can't compete with him. I mean, come on. That first reading from the second book of Samuel, this desire on the part of David to build and construct a home for the Lord, kind of follows on that theme that we had yesterday, in which I was speaking about the little dialogue that takes place between John the Baptist and his disciples when he sees Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. They go to follow him, and when confronted with why they were creeping on him, they simply ask the question, where are you staying? Comparing that with in the context of the Mass, when the priest holding up the host says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Where is it that Jesus dwells? Lord, I am not worthy. Right? Behold the Lamb of God. Where are you staying? Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. It seems that David has this purpose or this intent of constructing something for God, a place for him to dwell. And yet the fuller promise that God reflects back to David in his intentions is his desire to draw close to David in his descendancy, that an heir will be raised up in his lineage who will be a son to him. And we know that now, from the point of view that we stand and looking back, we understand this anticipation of the incarnation of God, not only entering into the lineage of David, but becoming incarnate and fleshed, entering in and dying and rising from the dead, and of his kingdom there will be no end. How far beyond the intention or desire of David was God's response? My brothers and sisters, I think we can do the same thing in our approach to the Lord in our own day and time. We can reduce our desire towards the Lord down to vanilla ice cream, right? Do you know what I mean by that? All of you who love vanilla ice cream are like, Father, don't put down vanilla ice cream. I'm not putting it down, but I'm just saying, it's the most generic of all. And in our desire for God, in our desire towards him, we can reduce it down to the minimum or the lowest common denominator or whatever it is, this vanilla ice cream of desire towards God. Yet I dare say if we are honest and true in our reflection of what God desires in reciprocation to us, it goes so far beyond our own desire for him. Our own desire for God often reflects a desire to kind of keep him at a little bit of a distance, right? Are we honest? Can we admit that? Keep him in that box over there, locked in, safe. I go to him when I want him, close him back up, I leave, I do my thing. Safe. Separate. Are we honest? And dare we hope for something more? I don't really want anything more. But so far beyond our desire for him is his desire for us. So far beyond. So much more full. Rocky road. Cookie dough. I don't know. Thousands of different varieties of ice cream now. Think about your favorite one. I know, all of you thought mint chocolate chip like me. Some of you are like repulsed right now. But the whole point is that God's desire for you, my brothers and sisters, it is so much greater. And if we are honest about that, if we're honest about the limitations of our own desires, and we recognize in him such incredible desires for us, it should make us pause and ask the question, Lord, what am I? What am I that you would desire intimacy with me so greatly? That when we are face to face with such an incredible longing, a thirsting, a hunger for you, and I'm not saying y'all like Texas, I'm saying you, every single one of you, his desire for you is so great. It should cause you to wonder and ponder about the mystery that you are. Seemingly, our desire for God is either limited by our own desire of ourself, or, I'm sorry, let me say that again. It seems that our desire for God is limited by our knowledge of ourself, or our knowledge about God. Seemingly, the one who knows everything perfectly, created all things, his desires reflect that wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So, do we ponder the mystery of God's great merciful love for us? Do we think him a fool for loving us? Kind of absurd, don't you think? So if he's not a fool, then it is I who do not fully yet understand what I am before him. Be humbled, my brothers and sisters, by that question. Humbled and honored by his great desire for you. Amen.